Father, we thank you, Lord, and we give you honor and praise this morning as we come together again for our daily fellowship. We give you glory for this platform that allows us to do that. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And thank you, Lord, for pouring out, giving your life, also pouring out your heart in prayer for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want us to pray together with Jesus. That's right. That may sound a little bit strange, but, we're going to take a look and pray along with him, unpack his John 17 prayer, and we'll pray along with Jesus. So that's what we're going to do this morning. But let me just talk to us a little bit, give us a little background, a backdrop to this prayer. And usually, we've seen, not only in our real life, we've seen it, and also in the scriptures, we've seen that people, when they're nearing the end of their life or the end of their journey, and some of them will gather their children together, pour out their hearts, in a blessing, in prayer, in instruction, in whatever. We saw so many people throughout the scriptures do that, give instructions concerning, Abraham gave instructions concerning his son, Jacob, prayed together, Isaac, when he was wanting to, when he was getting close to the end, he wanted to pass on a blessing to his other son. So he called Esau to go get him something so he could bless him. Well, we know that that was his intention, although Jacob got in there and got the blessing. But we see that, Isaac wanted to bless somebody before he departed, Jacob himself. The Bible says that leaning upon his staff, he blessed his children. The patriarchs as we know them today, many things that Jacob said came to pass. Even at the end of his age, towards the end of his age, he also blessed the children of Joseph. On and on and on. We see David, gave instructions to Solomon before he passed on, and so on. And, sometimes people, when they're getting there, they try to make preparation or say something. And, you can almost guarantee that, those words that they will say at in those moments will be something that's uppermost in their heart. If they know that they only have a little time left and, what are they going to pass on to either their children or whoever? Always important. And sometimes the Lord will even tell people to make preparation. One time, Isaiah the prophet, he went to King Hezekiah, who was sick and dying, and told him, this sickness is unto death. So set your house in order before you die. And, but that was a striking moment. Not only was Hezekiah already struggling with the, sickness, but he had a sentence of death, pronounced by the prophet. So it was going to be his last moments, but he said, look, you are not going to make it. So set your house in order. The set your house in order is the thing that I wanted to focus on. However, we know, glory to God, the story of Hezekiah praying fervently to the Lord, and the Lord turned that around, and we see that in the scriptures. But he was told to make preparation, get his house in order, and so forth. Well, Jesus also, having been with his disciples for some time, as the end was approaching, I had been teaching them many things, and he began to show them even more things. Here's one thing he showed them in John chapter 13, before, you know, as he was approaching the time, you know, before we get to John 17, we'll look, take a look at this John 13. The Bible says that Jesus, you know, knowing that his time was near, well, having loved his disciples, you know, from the beginning, he loved them unto the end. That's what we are told here. You know, so, and he knew that Father had given all things into his hand. So, he, after dinner one day, you know, he rose up and took a towel, gathered himself, began to, he poured water in a bowl and began to wash their feet. And you know that lesson. So it was something important that he wanted to show them. And this scripture characterizes as, you know, knowing, you know, that his time was come, that he should depart out of the world. See, he knew that. So some of these things he began to do towards the end there, was showing them. And then finally, John 17, he poured out his heart in this prayer. And thank God that, you know, Holy Spirit allowed John to capture it, poured it out, you know, just poured out his heart in that prayer, a whole chapter, just praying for his disciples, praying about them, thanking the Father for his own mission, praying about, you know, next steps for himself, next steps for his disciples, and so on. So let's pray with Jesus today. So that's the background to today's lesson. John chapter 17. Let's pray with Jesus. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. And notice the way that Jesus always prayed, always lifting up his eyes, to heaven. We don't know that he closed his eyes, but he was always lifting up his eyes every time, whether he wanted to bless the bread that was given to him to, you know, that the disciples would use to feed the multitude. He'd say, well, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Here he always lifted up his eyes to heaven. There was something there. It was a connection that he, you know, tried to make with the Father. And he said, these words were so profound. Father, the hour has come. That's it. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. It's a powerful prayer. And, you know, he said many more things as we're going to see here. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus prayed this prayer and he put it out there. Life eternal is that the people may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. There's no other way to get eternal life. That's it right there. The knowledge of the only true God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this knowledge is not head knowledge. It is to know him. And there were people, even great people, some of God's greatest generals in that Bible. Even after doing great things and all the things that the Lord had done in their lives, still saying, Lord, that I may know thee. So know him, that's where it's at. Moses, show me thy way, Lord, that I may know you. Paul, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. You know, we may know him, that we may know him. And Paul himself praying, pouring out his hearts to all the believers that God graced him to teach in those days. Say, I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Christ. I mean, always praying that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, always praying, knowledge. And he said also in Ephesians 4, talking about the ministerial offices and their role. So these things Jesus did, gave gifts unto men, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. And these are the things that they do, you know. And but the goal of all of that, he said, is, and they will keep doing it for the edifying of the body of Christ. They'll keep doing it until we arrive at that fixed point in the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. Yeah, that's that knowledge right there. To know the Lord God unto a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, how can we know him? Jesus said, well, to know the true God and to know Jesus Christ is eternal life. John would write about this later. He remembered the words of this prayer, and in his epistle, the first epistle of John in chapter 5, as he was closing that first epistle, he wrote this, you see, and he said, and we know that the Son of God has come, 1 John 5:20. And has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. That's, those are the same words that Jesus said, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He said, Jesus said, this is eternal life. Or Paul, I mean, John saying the same thing here. He said, we know that the Son of God came and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. That's his testimony and a declaration. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now this is the true God and eternal life. That's it right there. To know the true God, to know Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, the knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's eternal life. That's it. And you know, people who go through their lives, unfortunately, without this knowledge, end up without eternal life. It's that simple. And the knowledge is more than just head knowledge. It's a connection with him in the spirit, to know him more and more, to know him as we are known, so that I may know and apprehend, even as I am myself, I'm known and apprehended of him. Paul said, and Jesus was praying this prayer here. And we'll talk some more about knowing him, you know, to know who he is, you know, that we may know him. Just not just know of him, but to know him. Many people know of God. We heard people say things about God. We heard people preach about him and so on and so forth. But have we discovered him for ourselves? Are you in a relationship of constant discovery? That's it. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. And it's always about knowing him. His knowledge, the knowledge of his glory, shall be as the waters cover the sea. You know, from one end to the other, the knowledge is increasing like that. You can go to the sea and take some water. You keep going, there's still more to take. You know, no matter how much you take, there's still more. No matter what size container you bring, there still seems to be more there. That's the knowledge of God. You know, how can we know God in that way? Praise God. John would later write about some profound things. He would say, well, if you don't love your brother, then you have not known God, you know, because God is love. And that's another statement to consider. You know, if you don't love, like Jesus said, you know, then you have not known him. because he said, you know, God is love. So if you don't love, then you don't know God. Now, if you have all unforgiveness or hatred in your heart, then you don't know God and you have not known him. But John said, well, but you have known him, little children, because, you know, he called you from the beginning. Now, let's consider this knowledge and how, you know, it draws out the love of God in our hearts. The knowledge of who God is, what God has done for us, and comprehending that, Paul prayed the prayer, said that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, you know, and to know the love of God, the love of God in Christ Jesus, to understand the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of it. So he began to talk about these things. It is important for us to know him like that. Now, in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, in many of these chapters, 1 John 3, 1 John 4, even some part of 1 John 5, you know, John writes about, you know, this knowledge of God, how we demonstrate it, you know, by the love that we have in us. Praise God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another. Glory to God. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, that's that knowledge again. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. You know? For God is love. So, if you don't have the Jesus love, agape love in your heart towards your brother, and you haven't really known God. Maybe you've known of him, but you haven't known of him. You haven't known him really. Because if you do, if you really know him like he wants to be known, then there will be no place in your heart for bitterness, unforgiveness toward your brother or sister. And your spouse is also your brother or sister. You know, so, you know, this is the love of God. Hearing his love, he said, you know, initially, it wasn't because we love God, but it was because he loved us and sent his son, you know, to be the redemption and the price of the redemption for all our sins, propitiation for all our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And he said, well, if we love one another, then God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know, and hereby we know that we also dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Now, remember that Jesus was always talking about that, and we're going to see more of it in this John 17 prayer in a minute. And we have known and believed the love that God had toward us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. Now, John spent quite a bit of time writing about this love and relationship which you have to our brothers, because he understood this. He was the one that captured that prayer. You know, and he said, if a man say, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. And he said, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And so, God gave us commandment. If you say you love God, well, see to it that you love your brother also. He is a child of God. And that's what John was writing about in the next chapter. He said, look, if you love the parent, you will love the child. If you say you love God, then you will love his children. If you don't love his children, there is no way that you can really say you love God. But these are his children. You know, they are his children. You know, so going back to Jesus' prayer, you know, we see how Jesus was pouring out his heart here, just pouring it out. The prayers, the words that he prayed, as we go through this, we're praying along, really, with him, but we're getting the understanding of what he's praying about. He said, you know, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self. You know, the glory, with the glory that I had with thee before the world began. We've been in our last series talking about that glory, getting back to that glory. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And Jesus is advocating for us now before the Father. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words that you gave me. Just see how Jesus is giving all the glory to the Father. Everything he did, he said, you gave to me. Even these people that came to me, you gave them to me. The words I spoke, you gave them to me. And I spoke these words to them. For I have given unto them the words that you gave me, and they have received them. And they have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. Now in John chapter 8, when Jesus was talking to the Jews, he made a statement here. He said, look, if you don't believe that I am he, you know, you will die in your sins. John 8 and 24. And then in verse 42, he said, look, I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And why is it therefore that you don't understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Well, he told them. So Jesus is saying in his prayer here, these ones, they have believed that I came from thee. They know now who I am, who you are, and who I am, and that you sent me. And this knowledge is what grants them eternal life. Praise God. And now Jesus is going to really pray for these ones that have known him like that. And let's see the prayer. So that we can pray along. What is Jesus asking and praying, asking the Father of and praying for us about? Well, let's read it. He said, you know, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Take note of that. Some of us are always praying for the world. Jesus didn't pray for the world. He said right here, I don't pray for the world. Now that's not people in the world. That's a world system. You can't do it. You know, there's a mixed up people, a lot of mixed up. Jesus in John 8 and 44, he called some people the children of the devil. Now we don't know who those people are like he did, because he knows what's in everybody. We're told, but we don't know. So we do our best, and we preach to everybody, we pray for everybody, because we don't know. But see, you can't convert the devil. That's just the way it is. And we cannot save this world. It's impossible. But God is going to save those who believe on Jesus Christ out of this world. The rest, they don't believe, they're condemned already. But you and I don't know who's going to believe or who's not going to believe. So our responsibility is to preach the gospel the same way to everybody. and leave the rest to God. But Jesus knew. You see, he said Jesus even knew, you know, who he had called and who should betray him. He knew all these things from the beginning. And he said, I'm not praying for the world like that, but I'm praying for these ones that you have given me, because they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, see how he's just pouring out his heart. He's about to go to the cross now. He knows it. And he's pouring out his heart. And he's saying, and now I am no more in the world. He's about to leave. But these are in the world, see. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. And he said this statement here. Keep through thy own name, Holy Father. I mean, see how Jesus addresses the Father here. You know, he's connecting with God's holiness. Everything is about God's holiness. And he said, look, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. And Jesus was so passionate about the unity of the church. He didn't want all this splinter stuff that we have, all these schisms and all of that all over the place. No, he wanted one, that they may be one. Doesn't mean, you know, that we are all going to be in one place, but we'll be one in the spirit. One in the spirit. And he said, that they may be one, you know, even as you and I are one. He furthermore, he prayed, he said, look, you know, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. You know, all those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Now, he's reporting to the Father now. There's a mission that the Father gave him. And he's about to finish. He knows he's done. That's the last step. You see, I got to go to the cross now and do this thing. And I've done all, he's done all the teaching, all the preaching, all the mentoring, all the discipling, and so on. He's done all of that. His last step now is to go to the cross. And he knows it. And I said, look, I have kept them in thy name. All those you gave them. None of them is lost except the son of perdition. So that the scripture might be fulfilled. So he knew that. Have I not chosen 12 of you? And one of you is a devil, Jesus said. So he knew it. You know, but, you know, he mentored even that devil that was among them. You know, Judas was the son of perdition. He had to fulfill the scripture. There had to be somebody there to betray him. And Jesus kept him close. And taught him all the same things like he taught all the others. Sent him out to do the miracles like all the others. But the whole time Jesus knew who he was, you know. And he kept that, you know, from the people for the most part. Until the Last Supper, you know, but every day he was keep talking about it. You know, one of you will betray me. Finally, he said, and they said, who? And everybody looking. Well, so Jesus, to fulfill the scripture again, you know, Psalm 55 and all these things talk about, you know, my friend had lifted up his heel against me, the one with whom I ate and so on. So what? So he gave him a morsel of bread to fulfill that scripture. He knew what he was doing. And, you know, because the scripture said, well, the one who ate with me, the one who did this, the one who did that, lifted up his heel against me. So Jesus would do everything he did, was trying to fulfill, you know, fulfill that scripture. Praise the Lord, you know, so. He said, look, it was not an enemy that reproached me in Psalm 55. Then I could have borne it, you know, at Psalm 55 verse 12. Neither was it he that hated me that magnified himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance, you know. Yeah, you know, this man went with Jesus all over the place, you know. And he said, well, you know, you're the one that would betray me. But these things were in the scriptures and Jesus knew them. You know, so, you know, he did everything to confirm the scriptures. And as he was praying, he said, well, I've kept everybody except the son of perdition. Well, that one was so the scripture could be fulfilled. And Jesus said, well, these ones that you have given me, I want to pray some more things for them. There's a lot of things that Jesus wanted to pour out in his heart toward the people that he was leaving behind. You know, it's, you know, he constantly kept saying it. And he said, you know, now I come to thee, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Till the last moment, Jesus was concerned about his disciples, even at the cross. You know, woman, this is thy son. Son, this is thy mother. I mean, still, you know, just pouring out his heart, wanting to take care of his mom and John and so forth. And John was, you know, the one that hung around to the cross like that. You know, and said, look, take care of this woman. And the woman, you take care of this young man. And he put them together like that. Even at the cross, he was still doing that. Just in his mind to do all of that. And John actually stepped up. And one time he wrote to Mary, called her the elect lady. And Second John, he said, look, to the elect lady, you know, thank God that your children have finally come around. I was talking about Mary and, you know, some of the brethren of Jesus who at first didn't believe him. But, you know, later on they did. Praise the Lord. And then, so he said, look, I'm coming to thee now. I speak these things that they may have joy. I have given them thy word. He said it again. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. Now, listen to the next powerful prayer that he prayed. And we should pray along these prayers as we are seeing Jesus. I'm unpacking his prayer here. Jesus said, I pray not. Now, this is not what he was praying. In fact, he's praying the opposite. See, he's not praying that the Father should take us out of the world. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Now, let's pray that prayer. You know, it's not a prayer about, you know, going out of the world. It's Jesus wanted the Father to keep us from the evil. It's a work that we have to do. That's why, you know, the Lord doesn't take you out of the world the moment you come to Christ. That's not, you know, his purpose. He's not praying that here. In fact, he's saying the opposite. Keep them here. But keep them from the evil. Don't take them out of the world. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that is so powerful. If you have that understanding, pray that prayer alone. The life that we are living now should not be one of emptiness while we are waiting to go out of the world. You know, some people are just waiting, you know, to go out of the world, waiting for the Lord to come back. What are you waiting? What are you doing while you're waiting? I should say, in your patience, possess your souls. You know, occupy till I come. And Jesus will say these things, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You know, are thou called being a servant? Are you called being a nurse? Are you called being a nurse practitioner? Are you called being a doctor? Are you called being a teacher? Are you called being a mechanic? It doesn't matter. In whatever state that you are called, therein abide and occupy and testify of me. Glory to God. You know, and he said, look, I pray that you shouldn't take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. They are not of this world. We cover that in our series. Even as I am not of the world, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's no other way that we can be sanctified. You know, that's cleansed by the washing of water, by the word. There's no other way. It's by the word of God. that we can be cleansed. It's also the word, the knowledge of the truth that can make us free. John 8 and 32. Neither pray I for these alone. So you see, as he was pouring out his heart for those that were with him physically at the time, he was also looking forward to the rest of us who would later believe on him through the word that these people preach. They preached the word to somebody, somebody preached the word to somebody, all down through the ages, it finally got to you. And Jesus already prayed for you. Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for me. He said, look, not just these ones that are with me at this moment, you know, but all that shall believe on me through their word and cascade that down through the ages. The first set of people that believed on the preaching of the disciples, they went out also. They were scattered everywhere and persecution helped to even scatter them. They went everywhere and they preached the word everywhere. And then some people preached the word and then they heard it, you know. And Paul instructed Timothy, said, what you've heard, you know, put it before faithful men who will put it before others and on and on and on. And finally, one day, somebody preached the gospel and you heard it. Hallelujah. That's why you are here today. Praise God. You know, and if you haven't heard it, well, you're hearing it now. Jesus Christ, the one that was sent from the Father. And the knowledge of who he is what can give you eternal life. Can't get it any other way. It's in the prayer of Jesus here. You know, and he said, look, I don't pray for just these ones, but all the others that will come to know about me through their preaching. That they all may be one. This is so, it was so, I mean, important to Jesus. We kept praying about it, that they may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The oneness, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love that you have one toward another. Being one in Christ is what tells the world, see, that we are his disciples, that the world may believe. And Jesus said it. And he said, look, and the glory which you have given me, I've given to them that they may be one. He didn't give us that glory for us to outshine one another. No. He didn't give us that glory for us to be boastful about anything. No. He gave us that glory that we may be one. And that the world may see that we are one. And that's herein is the Father glorified. Thank you, Jesus. That glory, we see that he's now giving it to us. You know, he said at one time, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, and my praise, you know, graven images. But now, yeah, he is saying, well, I give him that glory. And I share with them. Praise God. I in them, see. This is that which we were talking about in that last series. The place where we are in him and he in us, and where he is where we are. Where we are is where he is. You know, just infused with him like that. I in them and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one. He's still talking about that oneness. You know, and that the world may know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you loved me. That's a prayer. You know, there's so much divisiveness. There's so much, you know, division, you know, schisms in the body of Christ and so on today. And Jesus, now, that's not what he wanted. He wanted us to be one. Now, does it mean that we will be one then with false doctrine? Absolutely not. You know, what it means is that the truth is revealed and each of us unite with the truth. When you unite with the truth and I unite with the truth, then we are one with the truth. It's not about being one with one another. It's not about that. It's being one with Christ, you know, because Christ is the common, it's the core. It's the magnet and it's the core. And when you unite to Christ, and I unite to Christ, and others unite to Christ, then we are united in Christ. Yeah, there's no other way to do it. You know, so now there's false unity. That's not going to work. People are trying to bring all kinds of false religions together. That's not going to work. You know, the only way that Jesus was praying about was that we may be one in him. I am united to the word and united with the word. So are you. That brings us together. You know, praise the Lord. Jesus, the magnet. He magnetizes me. He magnetizes you. Magnetizes somebody else. Now we are all united in him now. Not just, you know, everybody doing their own thing and then we'll be united. That's not, that can't happen. You know, so now, and he prayed furthermore and said that I want them to be my glory, see my glory that you have given me. Let them see and experience the same glory that you gave me before the foundation of the world. Jesus himself, you know, told us in many places that these, the certain things that God have prepared for us before the world began. Matthew 25 and 34. He said, look, enter thou, ye blessed of my Father, into the kingdom prepared for you before the world began. Our kingdom in God's mind was glorious. We may not see it yet, but God prepared it already. And one day we will see it. And Jesus said, well, that same glory that I had with thee in the beginning, restore it for them, for their sake. And Jesus never lost anything. He gave it up, you know, for our sins. And when the Father pulled him out of it, come out of that grave, he said, all power in heaven and on earth given to me. He got it back, everything, fully. Never really lost it, you know, but for a moment, he had to become darkness and the sins of this world were laid upon him, you know, just for a moment. But it was all planned by the Father for the redemption of them, all of us, you and me, who were lost. And Jesus had to pay that price. And he said, look, what you have given me, let them behold my glory and then experience it as well. And the Spirit of God have been telling us about this glory lately. How we can experience, how we can function in it. Glory to God. Now, there was a place where Jesus was praying. He said, you know, Father, glorify thy name. And the Father responded and said, well, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. You know, so you can find that in John chapter 12, verse 28. And in that John chapter 12, John, he captured many things, many of these things. In that John chapter 12, Jesus said many things there. Also about glory. He spoke also about honor. Spoke about many things. The glory of God, you know, that Christ had. And the Lord, voice from heaven said, I've glorified it, I'll glorify it again. And Jesus is telling you that, look, there's a way that you can experience this glory too. It's called an honor from the Father. And he placed that honor upon you. It's not the honor of men. Jesus said, forget that. In fact, Jesus, we're told, he did not give himself to man because he knew what was in man. So, but in John chapter 12, verses 26, to 28. Here is what Jesus was saying. He said, you know, that, you know, to those that will, you know, he said, my hour is come, you know, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Let me just read it from, verse 23, I think. John chapter 12, verse 23. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. You know, you would have thought that it was going to be his darkest hour. He's about to go to the cross and die the death, even a shameful death of the cross. But that was his glory. That was the path to glory. That's right. That's how he's going to be glorified. Ought not Christ, you know, to have suffered all these things in order to enter into his glory? You know, that's what he said, you know, to those two disciples that he met on the way to Emmaus after the resurrection. Luke 24 and 25. You know, the path to his glorification at the end went through sufferings. And you know, that's the same for us. You can't escape it. You know, we're not looking for sufferings, but we embrace them when they come, if it is for Christ. If you suffer because of standing up for Christ or being identified with Christ, then we should embrace it. Praise God. And it's going to bring glorification. So Jesus was praying this prayer in John chapter 12. He said, you know, the hour, I was making this statement, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. You know, and he's ready now to go to the cross. And he said, then he told the people, he said, look, verily, verily, I say unto you, he's going to talk about his death now. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. But when he dies, he brings forth much fruit. That's right. He's talking about himself. You know, he had to bring forth many sons unto glory. I and the children that God has given me, Isaiah 8 and 18, are for signs and wonders. He had to do that. But until he went through the death and his resurrection, well, he was alone. But when he come out of that grave, he became first fruits. Many, bringing many sons now. Hallelujah. He said, he that will love his life, preserve his life, because you don't want to suffer for Christ, or you lose it. You will lose it. But if you hate it for my sake, and you know, you'll keep it unto life eternal. In the book of Revelation, you know, chapter 12, verse 11, we're told that, you know, the people at the end have got the victory over the dragon. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You know, they didn't care. You can't threaten them with death and think you're going to get an advantage over them by that. They don't care about that. If they have to die, so be it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said the same thing. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will. But even if he doesn't, we're not afraid. You can't threaten us with fire or anything like that. You know, we're ready. You'll die if that's the case. Praise the Lord. They were sold out. And then Jesus made this statement in John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. You can see that's, again, that habitation. Where I am, you'll be there. Where he is where you are. Where you are is where he is. And even where he is going, that's where you are going to be. But they follow him whithersoever the Lamb goeth, you know, according to Revelation chapter 14. Now, is my soul troubled? He said, look, you know, any man that follows me like that, he will be with me. And if you serve me, my Father will honor you. Glory to God. Now, that's the honor that we want. Not the honor of men, but the honor of God. Him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. I said, no. You know, there's that struggle again. And that's that nevertheless moment too. Will I have to go through this to become darkness and become sins of this world and be separated from the Father? He knew it. He said, well, but for that reason I came. So he strengthened himself. Father, glorify thy name. See, always at the end of his prayers, even when he taught his disciples how to pray, at the end he said, thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory. Now, return all the glory to God. Always. He said, well, Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And every time you make it about God getting the glory, that will be the response. God will rise up to get the glory. And we must always ascribe all the glory to him and always make it about everything be about God getting the glory. And that's it. And Jesus, he knew how to pray. And they said, look, glorify them along with me. The glory that I had with you from the beginning, let them have it. I want them to have it. Where I am, they may be. And that those who have given me, they will behold my glory. Huh? We are seeing and understanding the glory of God now. Inheritance of the saints in light. That's the glory of God. We're getting it. We're understanding it. We're moving into position. Jesus said, and it's only what we are, what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. It's only the beginning. We're at the brink of the river. Ezekiel chapter 47 showed the prophet standing on the brink. And in the beginning, just at the beginning, at the brink, you got to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Glory to God. The deep things of God, the glory of God being revealed. You know, as we come into Christ more and more into through the revelation of his word. We look upon him, we gaze upon him, we see him as he is, we adore his holiness, and his attributes begin to rub off on us. Praise the Lord. You know, so in closing his prayer in John chapter 17, you know, let's read the last few verses of it. He prayed, after he had prayed that they should see his glory and be where he is. Behold my glory, which I had, said, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have also known that thou hast sent me. That's eternal life, he said at the beginning. And I have declared unto them thy name. And I will continue to declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them and I in them. You know, that's it. Jesus was consumed with his oneness. Not only oneness with the Father, but oneness with us. And we said in our series that in the holy place, God meets your needs. All the prayers that we're praying, you know, and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, God will be meeting your needs. That's holy place encounter. But in the most holy place, God wants to meet with you. I in them. And they in me. And I in you. All wrapped up in one. No more he's here, we are there, we are here, he's there. No. We're in him and he's in us. Glory to God. We can function now like the Christ because he prayed it for us. And this is the prayer that Jesus prayed. For us, this is how he poured out his heart, knowing that he's going to the cross now, knowing that his time is up. He kept saying, my hour is come, as he was approaching that hour, you know, and then he knew, and he prayed this powerful prayer for the Lord. I mean, if someone knew that their days were up, they knew they were about to die, and they had children, and so forth, what would they be doing? What would they be saying? I mean, what are the words that you would leave them with? I mean, if you knew you were about to die and that your children, I mean, some people call their children around them. We've known it in real life. You know, some people would just gather their children. They know they're about to die. You know, many of these people we've read in the scriptures that I mentioned at the beginning, and, you know, they gather their children and speak the words of life over them. And what is it that was in the heart of Jesus for us? Well, that's it in this prayer. He poured it out. So as we meditate on this prayer and as we try to unpack it, let's pray the same prayers. From top to bottom, see what Jesus was talking about. Talking about the knowledge of God. That we may know him whom he God the Father has sent, that Jesus Christ. He said that's eternal life. If you don't have that knowledge, you won't get it. You know, he prayed about, you know, the word of God that he has used to sanctify us. Well, that ought to be our prayer. Open my eyes, O Lord, to see wondrous things out of this thy book, and to hear the words of God, which is able to cleanse me. You know, Paul will say to, you know, Timothy and Titus and all these people, he will say, look, take heed to the scriptures. They're able to make you wise unto salvation. You know, so we take heed to the word of God. It's a cleanser. It's a purifier. Say, I've sanctified them by thy word. And he prayed, you know, said, Lord, protect them, Father, protect them. Holy Father, keep them through thy own name. You know, and then that's how we should pray for our children. Sometimes we worry when our children are not home, they've traveled, they're overseas or in other states or in other places, and we worry. Even if they were with you every day, can you keep them? No. It's God that can keep them, whether they are with you or not. No, not to worry. Commit them into God's hands, just like Jesus was doing. His soul was troubled now. He said, now my soul is troubled. It's about to leave the earth. And he knew, you know, that, look, I mean, you know, he's not here now to guide these people every day, but he's going to trust the Father to keep them. But we have to do the same. We have to trust the Father to keep our children. You know, trust the Father to keep you yourself, you know, as you're going through life every day. The Father is able to keep. So you're able to keep that which is committed unto thee. And Jesus made a powerful statement in the book of John chapter 10, talking about his sheep and that they are those that will, because they know his voice, will follow them. And through the guidance of that voice and the knowledge that the voice brings, he will give them eternal life. And he said, they shall never perish. And neither can any man pluck them out of my hand, because my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one can pluck anything out of his hands. And you have that confidence. You have that, you know, posture in your mind concerning your children too, you know, and those whom the Father has given you. And those of you who are parents, you know, same thing. You know, that which the Father has given you, nobody can pluck them out of his hands. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Praise God. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man, nothing is able to pluck anything out of my Father's hand. Glory to God. You can't do it. You know, so we commit our lives, we commit our children's lives into God's hand. Nothing can pluck them out. And they may be going through, you yourself are going through at times. So what if your children are going through? Yeah, they will go through, but they'll come out. Hallelujah. You know, and when I'm tested and tried, shall come forth as pure gold. Glory to God. Because my Redeemer liveth. People like Job and many people made testimonies like that. And Jesus, he prayed the prayer to make sure that, you know, we make it through the dangers and the perils of this world. Say, keep them from evil. He told them though, in the world you shall have tribulation, John 16 and 33. But be of good cheer. I already overcame on your behalf. So go through knowing that you already have the victory. You know, you go through each day knowing that you already have the victory. It's like you're going into a bout or a match or a game and so forth. And you go in, you know, that you know you're going to win. You don't go in with, well, let's just play and see what happens. No, you go in knowing that you are going to win. You say, well, I'm going to win because I'm a winner. Because Jesus already guaranteed, he made sure of that. He said, I already overcame on your behalf, so don't worry about it. You go forth in my name. I am with you. Lo, I am with you until the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. And this was the prayer of Jesus for us, and that we may be one, the glory. We've been talking about that glory. Let's get that glory. Let's come back in that glory for the purpose of being one and demonstrating to the world that the Father sent Jesus. We do it in his name, the things that we do. Peter said, this miracle that you see, don't think that by ourselves, we did anything for this man. No. He said, the name of Jesus and faith in his name. That's right. And the same Jesus whom you crucified. That's how you do it. You testify. The name of Jesus and faith in his name has given this man perfect soundness that you see before you all. To faith in his name. Give witness to the name of Jesus. And everything we go through in life, make it about God's glory. That's what Jesus did. Glorify thyself. Glorify thyself. Glorify thyself. Father said, I'll glorify and I'll glorify it again. And Hezekiah, he knew how to make it God's fight and God's glory. When Sennacherib and Rabshakeh came to chide them and profane the name of the Lord and do blasphemy and everything, said, don't let Hezekiah tell you that God's going to save you. God can't save you. Did any of the gods of those nations save them? Did we not burn down those nations and cast their gods into the fire? Neither will your God save you. Don't do it. Put yourself under us. And then we'll let you leave. But if you think your God is going to save you, he's not going to do it. He can't do it. Look at all the other nations we've laid flat, laid them waste. And Hezekiah went to the Lord and said, of a truth, they have laid those nations waste. And they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods. They were just the rebellion of men's hands. That's it. The work of men's hands, rebellion of their heart. Make something that they wanted to worship. Wood and stone. And can turn the Godhead into that. He said, but thou art the God, the very God that dwelleth between the cherubims. And then when you pray like that and you say, now, oh God, save us from their hands. And that was his prayer about God getting the glory. Save us, Lord, from their hands. Not that he didn't say that, our wives should not become widows, or that our children should not become fatherless, or that our cities will not be laid waste. No. He said, Lord, save us from his hands. Glory to God. That the people, all the people may know. All the people may know you, that you are God, I can say. And when you do it like that, when you pray like that, when you make it about God getting the glory like that, well, the Bible says that God responded in kind. He responded. It was in one night, he sent an angel and destroyed 185,000 in one night. Just laid them waste of all, all the people that came against them and so forth. And that's how, that's how you make it about God getting the glory. When you make it about the situation that you are facing today, well, you can pray the same prayer. And you can say what Hezekiah said. You can read it in Isaiah 37. O Lord God of hosts, thou that dwellest between the cherubims. He prayed, about God getting the glory. Verse 15. He said, thou art the God, even thou alone, that has made all the kingdoms of the earth. They are thine. Thou hast made heaven and earth. He said, O Lord God, he said, well, incline thine ear and hear and open thy eyes and see and hear the words of all these Sennacherib that he has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, those kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries and cast their gods into the fire because they were no gods. They were the work of men's hands and rebellions of their heart, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. But now, therefore, O God, our God, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. You know, why? And to what intent? Well, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. Now, when you pray like that over the situation that you are facing, doctors give up a loved one and so forth, you go out there and testify that he will live by the name of Jesus who we are calling over him. And you say, now you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I put forth your name out there. Now glorify thy name that they may know that you are the God that answered prayer. Or whatever situation you are facing. That's right. Our God will save us. Our God will come and save us. You declare it boldly. Give that confidence, that declaration. And you make it about God getting the glory. Say, Lord, glorify thyself in this situation. And the Lord said, well, I will glorify myself in this situation. That's right. And the Lord will respond. Praise the Lord. So we want to pray today, along with all the prayers that Jesus prayed for us, particularly the glory. He said the glory in Isaiah 42 and 8, the Lord said, my glory, no, I'm not giving it to anyone. I'm not sharing it. I'm not giving my praise to graven images. But Jesus said, yeah, I'm giving it to them. But they are not anyone. They are in me and I am in you. That's right. You know, so because I have it, they must have it. Because they are joint heirs with me. Pray the Father. You know, they say, wow. The Father say, well, that's it. You've earned it. See, Jesus had earned the right to petition the Father for anything. Yeah, please the Father. Because the Father gave him a name, you know, above everything else. And Jesus can stand in the gap till today, making an intercession for us. He did it too. And he said, look, that glory that I had, that you're giving back to me now, they must come in and share in that glory. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this incredible prayer that Jesus prayed for all of us, pouring out his heart, praying for our protection, sanctifying us by his word, and praying that we will enter into the glory. Glory to God. And now, Father, oh God, let our hearts not be hardened. You know, let us know you, the Father of lights, the God who is love. And let our love flood our hearts towards our brothers and sisters, that we may forgive, even as Christ, God, for Christ have forsaken us for his sake. I mean, forgiving us. Lord, you have forgiven us for Christ's sake. And so we must also forgive one another. Let the love of Jesus shine in us, one toward another, that all the world may know that we are the disciples of Christ. The glory, Lord, also, that you have promised us. We're entering into that glory now. We're coming into that most holy place, into that place of habitation with you. I in them, they in me, I in you. And together, one, Jesus prayed. No more separated. No more he's there, we are here, he's over there. No. Where we are is where he is. And where he is where we are. And I thank you, Lord, because you prayed. You said that where I am, they may be there. Same place. Occupying the same space. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. And I pray, Lord, that situations that confront us and things that we are confronted with, teach us, Lord, how to make it about you getting the glory. Glorify thyself, O Lord, in this situation, I pray. The situations that my brothers and sisters face, whether it is health, whether it is difficulties with life, so situations, finances, or whatever, situation where a family member is locked up or incarcerated, whatever it is, Lord, glorify thyself in this situation, that all the people may know, that you are the God. Hallelujah. Even thou alone. Thank you, Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. And in our lives, O Lord, as we understand this glory and this revelation of the glory of God. He said the knowledge of the glory of God will be fill the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. We pray, Lord, that this knowledge of your glory will fill our hearts. We will move and walk and live in the glory of God. Thank you, Father, from day to day, from moment to moment, that the Lord may be glorified even in our lives. Jesus, be glorified in my life every day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I give you, Lord, the praise. Thank you for the prayer. We are enjoying the benefits of that prayer today. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, and all that you have laid aside for us to enter in. We give you, Lord, the praise as we do and make these discoveries. Blessed be the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.